The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault, and I'm from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Line Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from July and August articles from Line Magazine online at linemagazine.com. We'll begin today with our Global Service Department, beginning with an article titled Managing Mangroves. Cultivating these coastal trees could help save Suriname. The Paramaribo Central Lions Club is one of the 2021 Kindness Matters Service Award winners. Read more stories and check out a list of all the winners at lionmagazine.org. Perched atop the northern coast of South America, Suriname is the smallest country on the continent. Yet lions there have taken on a big role in fighting climate change. Loss of the natural mangrove forests has led to erosion of Suriname's muddy coastline. Fed by silt washed from the mouth of the Amazon, the land should be growing, not disappearing. But dikes erected in the 1960s to build a highway connecting the east and west coasts of the country cut straight through the wetlands where fresh water and salt water mix. The mixed water, called sweet water, is where mangroves thrive. Without the tree's roots to bind the silt, much of the fertile soil is washed away. One of the most important and productive ecosystems on Earth, healthy mangroves can not only provide coastal communities with a sustainable living, but they provide coastlines from natural disasters and, according to the Mangrove Action Project, are capable of capturing more carbon per hectare than any other type of forest. The Paramaribo Central Lions Club has been supporting the mangrove project of the Anton de Kom University of Suriname under the direction of hydrologist Professor S. Naipaul since 2015. The erosion of the coastline infringes on the agricultural land, writes club chairperson Glenn Tewari. Planting mangrove trees prevents the rich soil from being washed away by the oceans. Residents of Suriname rely on the fertile soil for agriculture to produce food, but the constant flooding due to erosion has made farming difficult. Professor Naipaul has been on a mission to save the coastline and thus preserve the livelihood of Suriname's resident farmers as well as the precarious ecosystem that depends on them. And lions have stepped in to help. Naipaul's rescue mission to repair the damage caused by human development involves constructing scaffolding in the muddy waters to trap sediment so that there is enough mud for the mangroves to take root. Once the newly planted mangroves are established, they prevent the ocean from washing away the soil. The plants are grown in special greenhouses from seeds gathered along the coast. Once ready, the seedlings are planted in the mud with splints to protect them from the waves. Lions donated the specific kind of water-resistant wood required to build the scaffolding and ensure that it makes its way to the building site. They also donated the wood to build the greenhouses where the seedlings grow and assist in planting the mangroves. "We work with nature for nature," writes Tewari. The wood comes from the hinterlands to help restore and protect nature in the coastal plain. The club is hoping their work will provide better protection for endangered species such as the flamingo and scarlet ibises, birds that thrive in the brackish coastline waters. Once the coastline is stabilized, the land can be farmed again, and the people of Suriname can have a more dependable local food source. Lions of Paramaribo Central have taken on the project because they know how important a healthy coastline is to their community. More than 90% of Suriname's population lives along the coast, and they've partnered with many local organizations, including Lumberjacks, in addition to the university, in order to properly carry out the replanting. "The only know-how is in constructing the infrastructure required for saving the soil," says Tewari, "and nature does the rest." And next, we're going to read another article from our Global Service Department titled Scholarships Help Students Stay in School. For those who lost jobs and housing due to COVID, the boost from Lions keeps them going. Lion Ashok Kumar Mago knows how lonely it can be to leave one's homeland and travel thousands of miles to a new country to pursue higher education. The charter member of the Dallas Indian Lions Club immigrated from India to the United States in 1974, when he also learned the financial difficulties of studying in a foreign country. That isolated feeling of leaving family and friends behind and the financial stresses have been heightened for many during the COVID-19 pandemic. Many students lost jobs and internships that supported their studies and haven't been able to travel back to India to see sick relatives. That's why Mago and the other members of the 37-member club decided this year to provide scholarships to students at the Naveen Jindal School of Management at the University of Texas at Dallas. The school has a large number of Indian students who've struggled during the pandemic. The transition to virtual-only learning has had several effects. Most of the students lost the jobs they used to have on campus, or they didn't get the internships they'd usually get with local businesses, Mago says. Realizing that students were facing financial hardships that might harm their ability to continue their studies, the club decided to give scholarships of $1,000 to each of 10 students at the school. Lions left it up to the school to decide which students were most deserving of the scholarships that were granted in early 2021. This isn't the first time Dallas Indian Lions provided scholarships to students who show academic promise. Throughout its history, the club, which was founded in 1985, has emphasized education by giving scholarships to graduating high school seniors in financial need. It continued that tradition this year and added the Naveen Jindal Scholarship. We said we can't help each and every student, but let's see how many we can help, says Mago. The pandemic was especially challenging for students who were far from home when India was hit hard by the illness. Imagine if you are a student and your family members get sick, or if, unfortunately, any one of them dies, it's going to put a lot of pressure on you, he says. He adds that because of COVID-19-related travel bans, it's not possible for students to go home to be with an ill family member. Students sent letters to express their thanks for their scholarships. Sai Saravya Bhupatharaju, that one's not one I know how to pronounce, Bhupatharaju, who is studying business analytics, says the scholarship eased her financial strain. I will be able to move more fully focus on my studies, and I will be able to manage both my living expenses and tuition, she says. In addition to the scholarships, the club also donated $8,000 in groceries to the University of Texas at Dallas Food Pantry and $7,500 in groceries to another pantry at the University of North Texas. In total, the club provided groceries for about 750 students. Through the campaign with the Lions Club, we're not only able to support 10 students, but also answer the needs of hundreds of students who got a month's worth of grocery staples through the campus food pantry, says Gaurav Shekhar, director of the Master's of Science in Business Analytics Flex program. Mago says the money for scholarships and groceries came from donations from club members. He encourages other Lions to support higher education for students in need. If we can help students to be productive, that's a good thing for us to do, he says. All right, and next we're going to move over to our features department with an article titled Chocolate Tater Tots and Blue Feet. Minnesota mom finds learning to live with blindness is easier with a sense of humor. Losing her sight has not stopped Heather Bitson from making her fabulous soups for her three sons. She can read recipes and food labels thanks to an ingenious device called the OrCam, a small camera attached to her eyeglasses that translates information into spoken words. You know how boys are in eating, she says, with a chuckle. Her sons are 21, 19, and 16, and the Bitsans live in Brandon, a bucolic town of 450 in northern Minnesota. provided to her by lions, OrCam can also identify faces, so Bitsan knows immediately which son has walked into the room or, while doing errands in town, who exactly has approached her and asks how she is faring. 7 years ago, she lost her sight in her right eye after a tumor was detected. 2 years ago, afflicted with a tumor near her left eye, she underwent an operation at the Mayo Clinic. I could see for 22 hours. I took a nap, and they came in and said, "Time for dinner," and I said, "Turn on the light." It was hell. It was like a bad dream. They were yelling code red, and people were all over me. Her husband, Tim, and her sons were in the middle of the harvest. The family farms 1,000 acres of corn and beans. "Come tomorrow," she told him. They made it by 12:30 in the morning. He said, "Well, it's the next day." The Bitsans are well known in town. The boys play sports. "In Brandon, that means football, basketball, and baseball," says Linda Hines, a friend and president of the Brandon Lions Club. She is very active in town. She's at every game. She's well known. It's nice to see our dollars making someone's life a little bit easier. Brandon is so small and cozy, it does not have a single stoplight. Residents meet for coffee at Joe's Gas and Deli, enthusiastically support the Chargers of Brandon Evansville High, and come out in large numbers for the annual Summerfest, which ends with a crowded street dance. Saying everyone knows everyone else in Brandon hardly describes the closeness of the community. "We celebrate together when someone graduates, gets married, or has a baby," says Hines. "We grieve together when someone loses a family member or even a pet." Chartered in 1969 and now with about a dozen active members, the Brandon Lions are especially visible during Summerfest. They hold a fish fry, run bingo, and sell burgers and hot dogs. The club first purchased for Bitsan a smart cane, which uses sensors to send vibrations to the user to warn of obstacles. She uses and likes that. But after the Bitsan saw a Dr. Phil show on the OrCam, Heather asked the club if they would consider helping pay for one. The club pitched in $500, as did the nearby Evansville Lions Club. The fire department also kicked in $200. OrCam's facial recognition software takes a picture of a person's face and associates it with the name provided by the wearer. The device's camera later will recognize that person, and a small speaker above the wearer's ear tells them who that is. In her own voice, Bitsan is able to quickly discover the identity of more than 24 family members and friends. "It's been a real blessing," Bitsan says of the OrCam. "It's helped me get my confidence back. To be dependent on others, not at the age of 44. She learned how to use it through a DVD tutorial, which her husband helped her with. After losing her sight, she also spent 6 weeks in Duluth at the Lighthouse Center for Vision Loss, partially supported by the Lions, learning to handle basic things such as cooking and getting around. Bitsan likes to stay busy, blindness or not. She cleaned houses for 19 years, and after losing her vision, continued to tidy up the fire department hall. "People say I clean better now when I'm blind. Touch is my eyes. I can feel the dirt," she says. She also continued to volunteer at the Relay of Life, a fundraiser for fighting cancer. She handed out soda and chips and even announced the names of the 7 major donors. "I was holding the sheet and people were confused. They thought I was reading it, but I had actually memorized it," she said. The fundraiser in town for her brought out 600 people. They bought enough pasta dinners to help the Bitsans pay off their home. Acquaintances who would see her around town marvel at her mobility and say something along the lines of, "You can't be blind." She replies with, "Well, take a look at my leg. See the bumps and bruises." Added Hines, she doesn't sit around feeling sorry for herself. She has a sense of humor about it and tries to make you feel comfortable. Being blind has its comic moments. Before she received the OrCam, she cooked a tater tot dish and pulled the correct ingredients from the freezer. Or so she thought. She ended up using chocolate-covered peanuts. A son posted the results on social media. His friends were saying, "I want to come over for some of that chocolate dish," she recalled with a chuckle. Then there was the one time she scoured the toilet bowl with a blue-colored cleaning solution. Not realizing she had closed the garbage lid and not the toilet lid, she stepped right into the toilet. "I walked around with a Smurf foot for 2 days," she said. Losing her sight means adjusting to a new reality. You have to figure it out. You have to adapt, she said. Still, not being able to see her sons in action is a hard reality. "I was the first one there at the games and the last to leave. I always had a camera in my face," she said. "I went to the graduation. I was there, but I didn't get to see him." The loss of her sight was compounded by the loss of her dad 3 years ago to cancer. The losses make her reflective of mortality and the time and making the most of time. They gave him 18 months, and it took 6. "So I have to look at it that way," she said. When her remaining good eye went bad, doctors said it might regain its function within a year. "It's been 2 years, so I'm not holding my breath," she said, adding, "There's also a chance of a robotic eye or medication to regenerate it. Until then, she'll stick with the Orcam." And another short feature article titled "Pioneering Geneticist Named Honorary Lion." As part of their annual tribute day, Arthur Riggs, PhD, was invited by the Lions Club of Montebello to be an honorary member for his extraordinary contribution and incredible advancements in the fight against diabetes. In 1978, Riggs co-led the team that laid the groundwork for the development of the first synthetic human insulin with diabetes. Currently, the Samuel Rabar Chair in Diabetes and Drug Discovery at City of Hope, a comprehensive cancer care center in California, Riggs has been working on better treatments for diabetes since joining the renowned cancer center in 1969. "Ironically, I did not intend to study diabetes," Riggs admitted in a 2018 interview. "The early work was an accident. Really, we were trying to make genes. We asked ourselves, what useful gene can we make? The gene that we decided to make that we thought would be useful was human insulin." Riggs' nomination was approved by the board of directors of the Montebello Lions Club and will be officially entered into LCI's club roster as an honorary member. And our next article is titled "LCIF, A Foundation of Lions, A Foundation of Service." Join LCIF as we enter the final year of Campaign 100, LCIF Empowering Service. LCIF magnifies service during disaster. What's more powerful than a pandemic intensified by wildfires, hurricanes, typhoons, and earthquakes? Lions, magnifying their service through LCIF. To support communities through the COVID-19 pandemic, LCIF awarded Lions across the world more than $5.3 million, which they used to protect frontline medical workers, provide food for people out of work, increase hand washing opportunities, and connect patients in isolation with loved ones. At the same time, the world's other challenges never stopped. Disasters continued to deliver devastating blows, even as COVID-19 shut down the world as we knew it. Hundreds of wildfires raged throughout the western United States, burning more than 10 million acres, destroying more than 13,000 buildings, and causing more than $19.8 billion in damage. An explosion in Beirut killed more than 200 people and injured more than 7,500 others. After Typhoon Haiyan pummeled Japan, causing more than $118 million in agricultural damage and disrupting power for hundreds of thousands of people. A 6.4 magnitude earthquake rocked Croatia, killing 7 people and causing more than $6 billion in damage. Uncontrollable bushfires in Australia scorched more than 46 million acres of land. Hurricane Eta and Hurricane Iota, Category 4 and 5 storms, caused unimaginable destruction in Central America, taking a total of 272 lives, with 161 people still missing. To magnify the disaster relief Lions were providing in their communities, LCIF awarded Lions worldwide a total of another $5 million U.S. dollars from January 2020 through April 2021. Lions were able to provide support, comfort, and hope through clean water, food, blankets, shelter, medicine, and more. Together, LCIF and Lions are helping the world make one of the greatest comebacks in human history. Voices from Leadership, Why We Support LCIF. Lion leaders from around the world tell us why our foundation is so important and what compels them to give. As we begin Campaign 100's final push, supporting LCIF is vital. Because our foundation and the generosity of our donors, even though the challenges we may face may change, our service will remain the same. Our goals are ambitious, and it will take all of us working together to make a difference, LCIF chairperson Dr. Jung Yul Choi. 100% of every gift of every size given in support of Campaign 100 returns to a community in need. Past international president and international chairperson of Campaign 100, Dr. Jitsushiro Yamada. By myself, I can do a little. With my club, I can do even more. With our foundation, my service is limitless. I support LCIF because together we can do so much more. Past international president and international vice chairperson of Campaign 100, J. Frank Moore III. I'm honored to be a part of LCIF. Our foundation is a light to so many people in my own backyard and on the other side of the world. Together, we accomplish what so many others are afraid to even try, past international director Alexis Gomez. In this campaign, we are making an investment that is strengthening our ability to serve over the next 50 years, trustee Aruna Oswal. If you put your money in the bank, you can get interest, but if you put your money in LCIF, you can save the world. LCIF is using our donations to serve the world and make a big difference. Past International Director Magnet Lin. LCIF helps save lives in IP Alexander's beloved home community. Desperate need. That's one way to describe the situation in Brooklyn, New York's Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood, which happens to be home to International President Douglas Alexander. Historically a disadvantaged neighborhood, Bed-Stuy, as it's known to locals, needed an ambulance, residents often waiting 45 minutes for help to arrive. With demand outpacing resources, people were dying. Eager to help, emergency medical technicians, EMTs, James Rocky Robinson and Joe Perez launched the Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps, or BSVAC, with a single-used vehicle. Passionate about improving outcomes, the duo worked tirelessly to bring average emergency response time to below 4 minutes. It's no wonder countless lives were saved through BSVAC, which provided service at no charge to those without insurance. All was good, briefly. Then the lone ambulance began needing costly repairs. As a volunteer squad, BSVAC could barely afford fuel, let alone find a new ambulance. Enter IP Alexander's home club, the Brooklyn Bedford-Stuyvesant Lions Club. Learning of BSVAC's mission, club members began buying gas and tires for the ambulance, but more was needed. That's when the idea of a brand new ambulance was talked about at a club meeting. But how would the club raise $50,000? It got very quiet in the room, says IP Alexander. But then members started to pledge $500 or $1,000. Then they realized they could apply for an LCIF grant. A new life-saving ambulance that once seemed an unreachable goal could soon become a reality. LCIF awarded Brooklyn Bedford-Stuyvesant Lions Club a $17,500 U.S. dollar grant. It was a very proud day at Bedford Stuyvesant, said IP Alexander, the day the Lions presented their new ambulance to BSVAC. And I'm going to skip to the next article in this feature article just for the sake of time. It's titled LCIF Helps India Lions Move Children from Hungry to Hopeful. Hunger, a sad and pervasive issue worldwide, affects communities, especially children, in immeasurable ways. Chronic undernutrition leads to illness and delayed physical and mental development. According to the India Food Banking Network, 4 in 10 children in India face undernutrition or stunting. There to support children in rural India facing food insecurity are government-run child care center known as Anganwadis. In addition to receiving preschool education, children at the center receive meals and learn about nutrition. Thousands of children in rural Kerala depend on these Anganwadis for their meals, but many of these facilities had old equipment in need of repair. Hygiene was often lacking as well. While caring staff did their best with the challenging circumstances, the children suffered. Lions, knowing how important Anganwadis are to communities, took action. They turned to Lions Club's International Foundation, which awarded a more than $84,000 hunger grant and a district and club community impact grant of over $11,000. To ensure children had fresh, healthy meals, Lions used the LCIF funds to refurbish kitchen and dining facilities in 90 Kerala Anganwadis. Upgrades included stainless steel countertops and sink, renovated plumbing, and work tables with stovetops as well as new refrigerators. They also installed stainless steel dining tables and benches in the dining rooms for ease of cleaning and increased sanitation. Nearly 1,000 Lions helped install the upgrades and continue to monitor facilities for functionality. Though the project took place during COVID-19 while the Anganwadis were closed, Lions persisted working with the government and teachers to receive and install the new equipment. The most modern and hygienic equipment, along with a refrigerator, were unimaginable to these centers without your support, said V.B. Sajindran, Kerala legislative member of Kunathunad. I appreciate LCIF for enabling Lions to implement such a project, which is a dire need of the community. And I'm going to stop there for time, but if you'd like to read more, you can visit lcif.org. And again, that's lcif.org. And unfortunately, we've run out of time for today's issue of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a wonderful day.